Good morning.
Chazal tell us,
Ashleisha Dvarim Oilim Oimed, Atayra Avoida and Gemilos Chasadim. Chaim Voloshin explains that these three Amudei Oilim, these three things that the world depends on, are not independent. Rather, Torah defines for us what Avoida and what Gemilos Chasadim are. For example, before Matan Torah, we find the Avos, we find people throughout, they wanted to bring a carbon, they wanted to be makrif something to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They made a matzeva, they brought a carbon where they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted. And that was the Avodah. And that was the Avodah that was in Kaim the Olam. After Matan Torah, everything changed. Now there are rules, the Alochos, the Abamos, the Beis HaMikdash, Karbonos. And a person, if someone, the very same act that before Matan Torah would have been an avoida, today could be shchut echot, it could be in aveir chamura. Chaim Voloshin says the same thing applies to gemilas chasadim. He says that a person was malve beribis before Matan Torah. Person's business has a cash flow problem. He comes to you for help, and you're nice to him. You lend him money at a reasonable interest rate. Says that was gemilas chasadim. Not only was a mitzvah, it was one of the. This is the type of thing that kept the world going. And that same act that before Matan Torah was a chesed, after Kabbalah Satorah, being malva beribis became an isur chomer, which we explain there are six lavim on a tremendous chomer and a kumbet chias amesim. And Zakruch Chaim Voloshin, this is an example of how we see that everything that we do, even the avodah, the gemilas chasadim, all has to come from the Torah. Because once there was Kabbalah Satorah, once the Torah said in Kesef Talva that there's a responsibility when another yid has a problem to give him an interest-free loan, so everything changes. And even our askanos, our mitzvahs have to be done with the viewpoint and the hashkafa of the Torah. Now, as we discussed last week, the issur of ribis is unique. There are malva beribis is over six lavim. A loiva, someone who borrows, is over three lavim. And as we pointed out, the edim, the arev, everyone involved in the transaction is also over an issur ribis as well. A broker, someone who's not directly involved but puts the deal together, he would have an issur lifnei iver, but he wouldn't be over directly one of the issurim of ribis. Now the Ramah continues and says that this chiddush that we said that even the borrower violates hilchos ribis dafka beribis doiraisa, it applies only by ribis doiraisa, which is ribis ktsutza. However, if you're dealing abo beribis derabanan, if you're dealing with an issur ribis derabanan, and as we're going to see, there are tremendous amount of cases which are asur midrabanan. Here, we're not as machner. And while the issur ribis derabanan applies to the malve, it applies to the lender. The borrower is not over an issur ribis derabanan. Now, it doesn't mean that it's mutter. It still will be lifnei iver. Because by you borrowing, in this case, by derabanan, you're enabling the lender to be over an issur ribis derabanan. So you will be over lifnei iver, but the issur ribis itself, you're not a principal, you're not over the issur ribis itself. L'may nafkamina, who cares whether it's an issur ribis or an issur lifnei iver? So there's a tremendous nafkamina l'halacha. Many of the cases that we're going to learn through of ribis d'rabbanon, there'll be a machlokes. For example, we mentioned many times the famous heter of the Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe held that there's no if a corporation is allowed to borrow money and pay interest. As long as there's no person who's liable to pay, there's no personal guarantee. Corporations, if you want to borrow money, not a problem. Now, many people are samech on this psak. Others are not. Now, if you're machmer, and someone comes to you and says, I'd like to borrow money from my corporation. So, it's a shayel of ribis. If you're machmer, you can't, unless he's ready to sign a heter risk, you can't lend him the money. However, many of the poskim, even the ones that are machmir, agree that it's only an issur ribis derabanan. It's not a deraisa. Since there's no person, it's only a company, at worst it will be a daraisa. It'll be a darabanan, sorry. So it comes out like this. If you have a company and you want to borrow money, you go over to a friend, you go over to a bank, a Jewish-owned bank, and they're willing to lend you, they're going to charge you interest, they don't want to write a hefty risk. Can you do the deal or not? So if you're Slamech HaRav Moshe, great, it's a corporation, mutter, not a problem. But let's say you're Machmer, you don't want to be Slamech HaRav Moshe. Clearly you have a problem. However, even the ones who are Machmer by corporations, most of them hold it's the Rabbanon. If it's an Isser Ribbis the Rabbanon, so if you're the lender, so you have an Isser Ribbis the Rabbanon, you can't do it. But if you're the borrower, the Rama holds, a borrower by Ribbis the Rabbanon is not over Nisser Ribbis. What is he? He's over Lifnei Iver. Is that Lifnei Iver? The lender says, I have no problem. I have Rav Moshe says it's mutter. I'm ready to lend the company. I don't need a heterisk. You are you're more machmer. You don't want to be Simon Chamber. But if the whole Isser is Lifnei Iver, it's not Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver Lisitin Michshol. It's not a mikshol if, according to the lender, the lender is soymich on a legitimate kula. Right. So if you hold, it's like this. Anyone, even it's a machlokes over here. Even though there are many machmirim, if the Igros Moshe is mekel, then there's a very strong tzav l'hakol. It's a legitimate shita l'hakol. So it's not called a mikshol. The same way, no one is going to tell me that Rav Moshe was over Lifnei Iver writing the tshuva, right? This is a psak halacha. So if you don't like it, be machmer. But this is a psak halacha in America. This is b'derech klal what we follow. So if he wants to follow that, that's not a nichshol. He's not being over anything. So there's no iser Lifnei Iver. Mitzad sheni, you know, you have to know how far to take this. If it's something which is clearly oster, but the malva makes a mistake, that obviously I can't go into that because there's Lifnei Iver. It's a nichshol. But in a case where it's a legitimate, there are machmir and there are mekilim, just because you decide to be machmir doesn't mean the other person is lifnei iver.
That's only if the other person is being machmir because it's a chumrah, but not because he holds a meikar.
Even it's meikar hadin. Even it's meikar hadin.
The dayanin who asks him that it's also comes in to borrow the money. They hold it definitely also. No question about it. So you're saying that because the banker holds a promotion, so this dying holds it, it's also the one who can go in and he can be make that banker do what he holds as also.
Even the dying, even the person at Paskins, I'm going to be Machmer, I'm not going to be Semech Rav Moshe, is not going to say that this other person is Pasul Eidus. He's going to say this other person doesn't agree with me. He doesn't agree with me. He agrees with Rav Moshe. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good idea, usually.
But I can't make.
No, because it's, again, you can't do what's asr to you. But if you know it's a machlokes, you're not saying that the other people are tall b'dvar mishnah. You know, they're chalukei deis. There's no lifnei iver if that person has what to be a samech on. Shlomo Zalman takes it even further. He says, even if the malv is an am aretz, he never went through the sugi and decided, you know what, I'm being samech like the shita. He's an am aretz. But if he knew that there was a shita that's nekel, he would taka be samech on it. So even there, he's mitzade that would be mutter. When you're on the borrowing end, correct. Even if you would like to be machmer and not to be malva to a corporation because you want to be machmer, which again, some people are, some people aren't. But if you're on the borrowing end, then it'll come out. It's according to many sheets that hold that most of the rabbanon, it would be mutter.
It
would be on the malva side, exactly. So in any of these cases where there'll be a machlokes and there's a legitimate sheet of lahakel, so then even if you want to be machmer, there's only reason to be machmer when you're on the malva side. When you're on the loyva side, and then since it's only a question of lifnei iver, it will be mutter lechachila. Asking to carry for you might be different. That's not a question of me either. Then you may have to deal with another question. What? Exactly. That's for you is a different story. But assuming you're now you're just enabling him to do it. If it's a legitimate machlokes. There are shitas lahakol, shitas lahachmer. You don't hold that it's pashut a mistake and they're wrong and they have no right to me. It's pashut yesh v'yesh, and I happen to be of the machmirim, and there's no lefnever. If you hold more than that, if you hold it's takana, or you hold for some reason you don't have the right to be makel at all, that would be a different story, and I'll leave that for someone else to get himself into trouble over. So this yisoid is going to be a very important yisoid as we go through. We're going to see many cases that we're going to deal with are ribis drabonon, and many of the cases there'll be a machloikis. So as long as there is a real machloikis and stadum lahokil, if you're on the borrowing end, then it would be mutter l'chadchila. Now the Ramah tells us, so we have two cases. We have the malva beribis by ribis drabonon, Isser certainly applies to the lender. The borrower, by ribis d'arayis, is over Isser. By ribis d'rabanon, only has an Isser of lufna either. He's not over the Isser ribis directly. What about the lawyers? So the Chavis Das doesn't talk about the Seifer, he talks about Eidim. And he declares the following shayla. He said, on one hand, if the borrower is not over an Isser ribis, it seems unfair to say that the witness or the lawyer, who seems to be more on the outside, the chari, he shouldn't be over either. And he should only have to deal with lifnei. Mitzay Cheni, the Chavis Das points out that the Ma'av and Loiv have different isurim. By Ribis Dorais, the Ma'av is over Isur Lois Siman. He is the one who's making a Simas Ribis, he's obligating the borrower to pay interest. The Makar, the source that the witnesses and the Seifer are also over Isur Ribis, is from the same Pasuk of Lois Siman. From the pasuk of about the malva, and if the Chavis Das says perhaps when Chazal made a ribis derabanan, they said midrabanan there's going to be an isra of lois hasimun, in which case everyone who's included in lois hasimun should be over, which would mean the malva would be over, the edim, the sefer, it's just the borrower that gets off the hook. The Rambam doesn't. The Rambam only talks about a loiva. He says the malva is over the isra, the loiva is not. But the Eidim, the Sefer, is not discussed by Yisud Rabbanu. So the Chavis Das clears the shayla. He says, on one hand, it would seem logical that we should not be more machmir on the witnesses than on the borrower. On the other hand, the witnesses are included in the Malvas Isser normally, so perhaps it should be Isser. Chavis Das, l'maisa paskim tulkula. And he says that by Drabbanon, the Malva, the Sefer, would not be over. They just have to deal with Lifneiva. Now based on this, this has come out, HMAS Kula for the lawyers. If the transaction involves an Isser Ribis Daraisa, then it's us. As we pointed out last week, the lawyer is not just listening either, he's a principal, he's over one of the Isser Ribis, you have a very serious problem. However, in a case where it's a Darabona, according to the Chavis Das, the same way the borrower is not over the Isser, it's just a question of listening either, the lawyer and the Eidim would have the same Kula. And therefore, while it's still lifneiver, and you have to address that, we pointed out last week there are many cases where lifneiver, there are certain kulas that apply to lifneiver. So in many of these cases, it'll come out, it'll be mutter. You'll have to ask a shayla, see if there is or isn't lifneiver. But according to the Chavis Das, you don't have to worry about the Isser Ribis directly. It's just a question of lifneiver when you're dealing with a Ribis Isser Durabonu. There are Cholkim, the Rebina points out, and it seems to be Mefurish Taisus and Davayin Beis, that even a loiva and the edim, are over by the Isser Ribis Drabanon. But again, midei seiko loy nafga, and if it comes up by Ribis Drabanon, you should ask a shayla.
If the owner of the law firm is Jewish, but the actual lawyer is doing is a good, is that problematic? I'm talking about the Ribis Drabanon.
The Isser Lois HaSimun is the person that actually drafts the star. So the fact that you owe or you're a partner in the law firm, that should not be a problem. In theory, I guess, if he's acting as your shliach and you hold yeshlichus lakum l'chumro or l'machir efrayim by a poe, you can maybe create a problem. But in most cases, he works for you, but when he's drafting this document, he's not acting as your shliach. They probably hired him directly, and it would probably be mutter in most cases. It's true, you're profiting from it, but it's not, again, in Lifnei'iver or maybe being net, but the goy, there's no Isser Lois HaSimun on a goy. A goy is allowed to draft Ishtar Shiyesh by Ribis. So if a goy is allowed to draft that document, he's allowed to charge money for it, and he's allowed to share that money with you. It's only if it's your job and you haven't do it as a shliach, you have to deal with Yesh Shlichos L'chumra, or Shlichos when you're paying a worker to do something. Okay, so now that we went through, we see there's a tremendous difference between Ribbis D'Arayis and Ribbis D'Rabbanan. So what is the definition between the two? When is Ribbis, what do you need for Ribbis to be D'Arayis, and when is it only D'Rabbanan? So for Ribbis D'Arayis, which is called Ribbis K'tzutza, you need two elements. The first element that you need is, you need to start with a loan. You have to be lending somebody money. If you have a debt that doesn't come from a loan, you sell someone goods, he owes you money, and you, because he delays payments, you charge him a higher price. Or in the other case, you're selling something, you ask the person to put down money up front to give you a deposit, and you'll deliver the goods later. These are all cases which will at most be a derabbanan, because it's not a loan. You're buying something, you're selling something, and therefore, even if you're charging a premium because of the credit, or you're giving a discount for prepayment, it will not be d'oraisa, it will be derech mekach u'memkar, and it will be d'rabbanan. The second element that you need is you need a k'tzitza, which means you have to make up, at the time that you borrow the money, I'm borrowing $1,000, I'll pay you back $1,100. At the time that you're borrowing the money, there has to be a k'tzitza, there has to be an agreement to pay interest. Then it will be d'oraisa. However, there was no agreement to pay interest. You just threw it in later as a present, as a bonus, for whatever your reasons were. There, it will at most be a issur d'rabbanan. A 210 net 30 will be at most d'rabbanan.
If you go
beyond that, that penalty that kicks in when you're late will be d'rabbanan. Because the initial transaction, you're right, there is a k'tzitza. The second element you have, there's a k'tzitza, there's an agreement to pay the interest, but you're lacking the first element because there was no loan. It's a sale. Now, in some cases, there's a concept of zaklan of the milva, which we'll have to get to in a future shiur. There are some cases where you can convert a sale into a loan, but that's for later. But in a normal case where just, this is the price, if you pay me within 30 days, this is how much you'll pay. If you pay later, you'll pay a premium. That will be d'rabbanan.
It's not considered a loan
that
he's lending you the merchandise?
No. He's certainly not lending you the merchandise because you're not returning the merchandise. The merchandise you're taking, you're using. You're paying for that merchandise and you're paying in the future. But since you're paying for merchandise, that's a sale, it's not a loan. Correct. Anytime it's derech mekach u'memkar, you're paying for an item, you're paying for a lease, or you're paying for services. You work for someone and you pay, and the deal is if you pay late, you're going to pay a higher price. That will typically be d'rabbanan. So now the first case that the Ramban, Siman Kuf Samech, and Mechaber talk about is this halacha of ribis where there's no k'tzitza. And here in Sifdal, the Mechaber writes, you lend someone money. It's a neighbor. It's a friend. Both of you know Hilchos Ribis. You would chas the shalv. You never charge him interest. But then, when he comes to pay you back, he gives you extra. He gives you a bonus. He gives you a present. Or he comes and as he pays you the loan, he says, hands you a nice big candy dish or a bottle of schnapps. Thank you very much for the interest-free loan. He just blew it. Because it may have been an interest-free loan. There may not have been a k'tzitza. But the moment when he pays you back, he drops off the bottle of wine or the candy dish. He's now giving you something extra. He borrowed $1,000. He's giving you back $1,000 plus the candy dish. So then, even though there was no k'tzitza, there was no heskim, there was no agreement, there, it will be Asur Midrabanon to do this. And the Mechaber continues, if you don't say it's because of Ribbis, you just give him extra when you're paying back the loan, the halacha is Asur. Any present, anything that you give the lender at the time of repayment, we're automatically going to presume that it's going to be Asur, that it's going to be Ribbis, and it's going to be Asur. Now this leads us to a bunch of interesting questions. You have a friend, you've been driving him to work for the past 10 years. One day you get to the tolls. I guess, all right, with the easy passes, that doesn't happen anymore. But you need, you know, you don't have your exact change to get through the toll. So the passenger in the back seat hands you the money, lends you the 35 cents that you need to throw into the toll. L'chaira, if he gives it to you as a present, great. But assuming it was understood to be a loan, tomorrow you're going to pay him back the money. You now owe him 35 cents. Now, the next morning when you pick him up, what are you doing? You're driving him to work. You're doing him a favor. L'chaira, we should have a problem of ribbis. You borrowed money from him. You're going ahead. You're doing a service for him that has value. And that should be awesome. And this seems to be a Mufurish Mishnah. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Daled, says that Hamava es Chaveiro, if you lend money to your friend, and then you make a simcha, you want to borrow his house, the halacha is, lo yidur b'chetzei rechinam. You're not allowed to stay in his house overnight for free. The Gemara explains that this is not a person who ran a hotel and he's giving you a free hotel stay. The case is, his house is empty. He's away for the weekend. And you, Baruch Hashem, you're not homeless. You have a place to stay. You're not looking for a, you're not ready to pay rent or to go to a hotel. It's empty. Why not? Even though it's a zeh nene v'zeh loy chaser, even though normally people would not charge for it, since he borrowed money from you, you cannot live in his house for free. If you do, the halacha is, you have a chiyuv to go ahead and pay him to avoid the isaribis. So the chara, what should come out? If you go back to our case, if you lend someone money, he gives you a candy dish, you should have a chiyuv to go ahead and pay him for the candy. And if you lend someone money and then go and he goes ahead and he's giving you a ride to the city, he's giving you l'chara, the halacha should be, you have a chiyuv to pay him for that service. You have to pay him for that ride. Now it says over there is Matmiya. He says, I don't understand this. Does this mean that every time you borrow money from someone, it's like you mudu hanah from him? Suddenly you have to be a total stranger, you can't talk to him, you can't have any shaykhs to him, you can't do the things that you've been doing. It doesn't make sense. So I'll tell you this, that these are the guidelines. If you borrow money from someone, the halacha is, while you owe the money, any toiva, any service that you would have done for him, even if you had not borrowed the money, is still going to be mutter. If you would have done it without the loan, you can go ahead, you can still do it. The issur is only, before he lent you the money, you didn't want his company. You weren't ready to drive him into the city. Now that he owes you money, now already you have a shtikla karas atari. If you owe him one, now you're going to start being nice to him. There, where you're doing a service for him that you would not have done otherwise, that's going to be awesome. But if you would have done it without the loan, that would be mutter. But Zotaisus, there are two exceptions. He says, by Yidur b'chetzei rechinam, if you're moving into his house is a very public thing. Everyone sees you coming, going, into the house, out of the house. If someone owes you money, you cannot, even if you're friends and you know, even had you not lent him the money, he would have been nice and he would have let you live in the house. Since it's very public, since everyone sees it, there's a mechzi karibis, and you're not allowed to ask him, you're not allowed to move into his house, ask this toiva from the borrower, because it looks like ribbis.
Most people won't be able to give part of the money.
That's true. So there seems to be an assumption that when you borrow money, it gets around. People find out about it, and therefore, if you publicly are being nana from him, it'll be aser. But it is a fair point. That okay, now the ride to Manhattan, I don't think is public. People, you get into the car, I don't know, when you move into someone's house, they see you coming and going, they know it's his house. Okay, fine. Now, even if it's like this, even when it's public, so there's a marshal in Bava Kamma that says like this. He says, even though it's usur when it's in public, even if you would have done it, he says, that's if you would have done it. If you actually did it before, let's say every year you go to, you know, you move into this person's house for a few days. If you actually did it before, he says, even though it's public, it's mutter. So if you've been giving him a ride, even if it's public, you can continue. But if you never gave him a ride, but you happen to be a close friend and had he asked you, you would have, then if it's public, it will be awesome.
Are you going to start doing a deal for somebody because you're going to ask them for money in a week?
Okay, so we'll get to that. That's Ribbis Mugdamus. We'll get to that in a minute. So this... Okay, good. Halveni Valveka we'll have to deal with, whether that's ribbis or it's you know, at the end of the day, no one's gaining. But let's, it's a good, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So again, to recap. If you're doing if while you owe someone money, if you're doing him a favor or giving him something that you're only doing because of the loan, that's certainly going to be awesome. If it's something that you would have done anyway, it will be generally be mutter, unless it's something which is very public. If it's public, it will be usur, unless you actually did it for him in the past. Then we say the same way you did in the past. Everyone saw it. They're not going to attribute this to the loan. But if you didn't do it in the past, simply because you're good friends, then it will be usur. Marshall's other example is if you buy an aliyah for someone who lends you money. So you buy an aliyah. That's very public. They see the bidding. They see that you won the bid. This person gets an aliyah. It's in front of the whole shul. He says that would be usur. But he says, if the person who lends you the money happens to be Yushver, and it's, you know, when you come for Yontif, you very often buy Yushver and Aliyah, then it will be Mutter. But otherwise, to buy an Aliyah, to do something publicly for the lender, that will be Aser. The other example, the other exception that Taisa speaks out, which is a bit less common, is that if you take the liberty to use his house or to use this thing without bothering to ask his permission, that will be Aser. Because you lend someone money, and then when he's not around, you're just going to his house, you don't even bother giving him a call. That shows you're taking these liberties because you know he owes you one, you're taking advantage of the loan, and that will be awesome. But anything else, anything which is not public, and you would have done it anyway, will be mutter. That's the first rule. This is all while you owe someone money. You can deal with him, you can treat him the same way that you dealt with him until he lent you the money, but you can't do extra things, you can't do things that you would not have done before the loan. If you would not have made this Misha Beirach with, had he not lent you the money, that would be Ribbis Dvarim. That would be Aser. Now, an interesting case, and this is a bit of a judgment call, is what happens if you lived in the same neighborhood this person for 20 years. And for 20 years, you walk by him on Shabbos, you ignore each other, you don't say hello, nothing. You need a couple of dollars, someone sent you to him, and he was nice enough to lend you the money. The next time you walk by him, you want to say hello, right? Okay, that's going to be awesome. But where it gets questionable is, when you're saying hello to him now, if you're saying hello to him because he lent you the money, that's certainly awesome. But very often the pshat is, now you know the guy. You know him. He's going to say hello to you also, right? So it's the loan was just how you got to know each other. That case is a little bit more questionable. There's more of a mokum to be makel. It's a bit of a judgment call. That's always a good idea. Highly recommended. But if you didn't, so again, if you're doing it only because of the loan, it's also. What? No, that's already a chumri say. You can be makel to say hello to someone, even though you might one day borrow money from him. We'll get to that. So this is all while the loan is still outstanding. There, anything extra is going to be usur, unless you would have done it otherwise. Even if you would have done it otherwise, when it's very public, it'll be an issue.
So if I lend money to relatives, borrow money to relatives, I would generally speak out for them. I would generally thank them very much for that.
Thank you. That's Ribbis Dvarim. That we'll get to the next week or the week after. But right now we're talking about real benefits. But Ribbis Dvarim is a problem. We'll have to see what's included in Ribbis Dvarim. But conceptually, anything that you're doing that will make the person feel good or will be mahane him is a potential Ribbis problem.
Even though there's no real gain to him at all.
We're going to see Ribbis Dvarim does not need a financial gain. It feels good. But again, thank yous we'll get to. It'll be a discussion. So anyway, this is all while you owe someone money, anything, any favor that you do, any tayyub that you do, what you wouldn't have done is going to be usr. If you would have done it anyway, it will be mutter. This is all while you owe the person money. What happens if you've paid him back? So here the halachas are more lenient. Over here, the halacha is, and this is really a halacha in Siman Vav, Also lahagdim ribas ala acharosa. Keitza nothing ain't of lovas men of Hayimashagal doirin. Bishvil sheyoveyu zi ribas mukdemas. Love men of Hitzul Maisa of Hayimashagal doirin bishvil Maisa of Shabitaos etloi zuhi ribas mukharis. So here the halacha is that if you borrow money from someone, you pay him back. And then, after you've paid him back, you send him a present. Thank you very much, in appreciation. That is called ribas mucheres. And that's going to be yasser. However, there are two kulos in ribas mucheres. The first is, even though it's yasser, ribas mucheres, because the loan was already paid, it's more power. And once you've accepted it, the malva has no obligation to give it back. By avak ribis, if you get a present while the money is still outstanding, so it's the rabbanon, Bezdin can't force you to give it back, but there's a chiyuv lata sedei shamayim. By ribis mu'ucheres, if after the loan was repaid, then you get the present, then even midei shamayim, there's no chiyuv to give it back. Which means if the person borrows money from you, and before he pays it back, he sends you the candy dish, so lata sedei shamayim, you have to either send back the candy, or at least pay him for it. If, however, he waits until after he pays the loan, and then the following Shabbos he sends you the gift, so you shouldn't accept it. But if you've accepted it, once you're kind of it, you may as well eat it and enjoy it. There's no chiyuv whatsoever. There's no point in giving back the money. It's more kal. There's no chiyuv l'tis yidei shemayim.
How do you rectify the situation?
You can do tshuva, but it's not a financial thing. It was a mechzi karibis, which was aser. You have to do tshuva, but giving back the candy or cutting a check will not play a role. Again, there's a head to risk. That's one point. And the second point is giving it to the broker, not to the lender. Assuming the broker is not the lender, he's just. So then it's never. We're going to see later on in Simon Kof Samach that to pay a broker to arrange for a loan, if it's not the broker's money, he's not the lender, will never be usher. A lender would be a potential problem. We'll deal with the chavis. There's a chavis das that discusses by ribis mucher. You know, when there's avak ribis by heteriska, that might be different because it's a heteriska. But we'll discuss that when we go through heteriskas. So the first point is by ribis mucher is if you're giving it after the loan is repaid, you don't have it. There's no chiyuv l'tis yidei shemayim. You can once you've already accepted it, once you've already been over, you can keep it. There's no reason to give it back. The second kula is. The way the Ramah, the Chavis Das, Paskin, is that it's only usur by Mefarish. If a week later you get the candy dish with a little note in appreciation, the borrower is telling you, I'm giving this to you because you lent me money. When it's so explicit, I'm giving it to you because of the loan, that's going to be awesome. However, Bistam, if you don't say anything, you just give a present, they are according to many paiskim, even though the borrower is only doing it because he lent him money. Since it wasn't explicit, since he wasn't mefarish, it will be mutter. Now, even in this case, the paiskim say, it depends on the size of the present. If it's such a matana maruba, it's an unusual present, so it's obvious to everyone, this is because of the loan, then it's like mefarish. Then it's once it's clear to everyone, it will be awesome. But a matana muetis, a small present where you don't specify this is hakaras atayiv, there by ribis mucheres, according to many poskim, will be mutter. Now the truth is today, it's in most cases it's very hard to be makel, to be samech on this, because today it's unusual in most circles for people just to send presents without any reason. So in most cases, every present will be the equivalent of matana ruba. It's very clear and obvious this is directly because of the loan. However, if you're dealing with a relative, if you're dealing with a close friend, where every once in a while you send each other presents, so then, and chanami, then there's mokim to be meiko, as long as you're not mefarish. I mean, your wife holds it has value. You can sell it. It's you know, many things that don't have, you know, candy also doesn't, not the sky. It's something which has a value in the shuk, and it would be ribis mucheres. Okay, ribis dvarim by ribis mucheres. Well, okay, when we talk about ribis dvarim, we'll discuss about what about ribis mucheres by ribis dvarim. There are mekilim in that case. Right. So Chanukah time, if you send a present, Right. As long as you can, as long as it's a camouflage and it's not mefarish, it's not obvious this is only because of the loan, then according to many paiskim, even though you're only, you know in yourself you're doing it because of the loan, it will be mutter according to many paiskim. Shulchan Aruch Rav and you know, based on a shach and the Chachos Adomar Machver, they say you shouldn't do it. But again, as a chumrah, and certainly the lender, if you're on the receiving end, you're allowed to accept it. So we have, so far we have two guidelines. When the loan is still outstanding, you can only do it if you would have done it even had he not lent you the money. If you've already paid back the loan, then unless it's very obvious to everyone that it's because of the loan, it will be mutter, even if, again, you know personally that you wouldn't have done it without the loan. What about at the Shas Piroi? What happens if he shows up with the money and the candy dish at the same time? Does that have halacha like the loan is outstanding? Or is it like afterwards? So over here, what most places can come out is a little bit of a pshara. As far as the halacha of when it's mutter or when it's aser, there they say the Shas Piron is the worst possible time. Because the whole issue of these presents is that people are going to link the two. I'm giving the present because of the loan. When you're handing him the candy dish as you're paying back the loan, everyone's going to take one look and say, this is ribbis. You're doing it because of the loan. So anything that you do, even though you would have done it, you wouldn't have done it, doesn't make a difference. If you're doing it at the time of Piran, we're automatically going to assume it's because of the loan, it's going to be awesome. However, that's only before the fact. When it comes to when the question of whether I can do it or can't, does it look like ribbis, it's going to be awesome. However, once you accept it, the already the Chavis Das and other places can speak out, has the din of ribbis mucheres. And therefore the halacha is once you've accepted it, even though the Yisr was done, there's no chiyuv even Latzis Yishmaim to give it back. So if you took the candy dish already, you've accepted it, then the halacha is you can keep it, you can eat it, there's no reason to give it back. It was an avla, you should do tshuva. But as far as the chiyuv hashava, there's no chiyuv hashava whatsoever. Okay, possibly. We'll have to go back into what a check is. Now, based on this, there's a fascinating machlokas in the Achronim. There's a halacha that we actually had in Hilchos Oinah, that if a person borrows $1,000, when he pays back, he hands the malva an envelope. Malva takes the envelope, he counts it up afterwards, and he sees there are $1,100. Okay, so $1,100, maybe the person made a mistake. So you have to tell them. Let's say he counts it up and they're $2,000. So it's very obvious it's not a mistake. It's not a mathematical error. So halacha over here that we learned was, you have the right to assume if he gave you the extra money, he didn't say anything, he was giving you a present. So halacha is you keep it. So all the achrayim here in Siman Kuf Samach say, what's going on? You lent him $1,000. He paid you back $2,000. So very nice, he wanted to give you a present. But when's he giving you this present? B'shas Piron, when he's paying you back. A present B'shas Piron is going to be also, it's ribbis. He's giving you a present because you gave him a loan. So this should be also. So the Achrayim, the Shach, the Taz, everyone's busy with this kasha. Comes along with Chavis Das. He says he doesn't understand what the big deal is. You're right. If someone borrows $1,000 and he gives you $2,000, you're not allowed to accept it. What was the case? The guy handed you an envelope. You took it. You said, thank you very much. You put it in your pocket. And afterwards, you counted it. Afterwards, you counted it. You realized it was extra. It's true. B'shas Piron, it's true. He's not allowed to give you extra. But once you have it, it's ribbis mucheres. Once it's ribbis mucheres, Allah is no chiyuv to give it back. So it's true when you accepted it, it was aser, it was avak ribbis, and you had no right, had you known it would have been aser to accept it. But once you got it, you're zoicha in it. If you want to know the zechi of hashava, so that's all the Gemara means. You can assume it's a present. He shouldn't have done it, but once you have the present, you're allowed to keep it. The Chavis Das, the Sharadeya. So what's pshat all the other poskim? This answer is very true. They didn't. That was the story. He paid cash, and you know, what he did is you gave him back the shtar. It was an IOU note. He handed you the envelope. You handed back the IOU note. Okay, so it's not a wise move, but that's what happened. So what's the shah in the other poskim? So Rav Moshe says a beautiful teretz. He says like this. Someone comes to your house, owes you $1,000. He hands you $1,000 and a candy dish. So if you know Hilchos Ribbis, you should tell him, I'll take the money, you keep the candy, and that's what you should do. If you don't realize that, you take the candy dish, and then you call your Rav, what should I do? So the Rav will tell you, it's too late. You've accepted it, it's yours. You can eat, it was wrong, but you know you should do tshuva, but you can eat the candy. Well, Leva will be lifnei Yiver. Zakr of Maisha, what happens if a person hands you an envelope? You pick up the envelope thinking it's $1,000. You find that afterwards it's $2,000. So what do we say? We're saying as far as the Yisr was done already. You're not allowed to accept the Matana B'Shas Piron. But it's too late, it's yours. Zakr of Maisha, when you picked up the money, you didn't want to be over an Yisr. You wanted to take your $1,000 back. Had the lawyer told you, I'm giving you $1,000 of ribbis in this envelope, that's the shalom. You would have turned to you and said, no, thank you, I'm giving it right back to you. Zakr of Moshe, in such a case where you didn't know, you can't be over an iser of ribbis without knowing it. So since you didn't know the extra money was there, you never had kavana to be zaychen, and had you known it was there, you wouldn't have wanted it. He says you're never zaychen it. So now when you count it, and now you see the extra money, now we have a... It depends what your reaction is. If your reaction is Baruch Hashem, I got an extra $1,000, at that point you're over the yisur, but you can keep the money. But if at that point when you realize it's extra, you right away say it's usur, I don't want to keep this. There, Moshe says that's why it would not be called ribbis mucheres. That's why it would be called before the fact, and you at that point you'd have a chiyuv to give it back and not to be zoichin it. So when you're zoichin it, that is when the problem happens. Now a spin on this, and this shaila comes up all the time, is a person lends money, and the candy dish is delivered to his house, and his wife picks it up. So he wants to know, his wife already had das to be zaych in it, but he didn't. So who's over the yisr, what to do with it? It's a whole shaila. What? Fine, but can she be over an yisr for him without him knowing? Maybe the whole thing is a toyish. She only accepted it. What? That's this, right. Very good. What? Okay, good. So that's a shiloh we'll discuss another time. All right.